We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Welcome back to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, where each week we go back, way back. We watch every episode, if you could believe it. We discuss it with you guys. Sometimes we have patrons on our show, and they talk about how they feel about the show and other stuff. And if you want to join Patreon and support the podcast and get tons of perks, go to patreon.com/Talkville and become a patron. There's so much cool stuff. Talkvillepodcast.com is tons of merch. If you want other Smallville merch, the Inside of You online store with ship keys and Lexmas scripts and what do they call those things, the Funko Pop Lex Luthers, all that shit.
Since we've had some patrons on as guests, I've been to a couple cons, and I'm getting this a lot of, how do you choose the person who comes on? And I just want you to know that Michael and I have nothing to do with that. It's all Bryce. So stop asking.
You got to be a top tier patron that comes on, so the top tiers get the first dibs, I guess you could say. But also, as we said, the Smallville con is happening. Go to my Instagram at the Michael Rosenbaum and go to my link tree, and you'll see cameos, you'll see cons that Tom and I are doing, and you'll see the New Jersey con, which is Creation in October. You don't want to miss. Look, if you didn't get a chance to call in our hotline and leave a question for this episode, make sure you do for future ones. All that info and more is down in the show's description. Follow us at Talkville Pod and all that stuff. And without further ado, let's get in to season 4, episode 16. This is called Lucy.
Lucy Bond. She's like James Bond at the beginning.
Title, Lucy, aired March 2nd, 2005. Director David Barrett, second and last episode on Smallville. Also did Run. Yeah. I don't have anything against him. We didn't have a nice time together for a couple of moments. And the director comes up to me, David, and just says, "You're effing me. You're effing me," screaming in my face. The day is getting ruined because you're late and this and that. And just screaming at me. And I'm like, I'm so taken aback that I am just like, whoa. And Erica looks at me and goes, "Are you okay?" I go, "No." And as the camera goes, I look into the camera. I go, "Fuck you." And I beeline to this guy. But I think at the end we made up. But it was just not a fun time. Writers, Neil Sidhu, Daniel Sulzberg. Neil was working really closely with Al. And he was kind of an assistant writer, I remember. And then he got this episode. So that was a big thing for him. Guest star Peyton List as Lucy. Peter Wingfield as Marcus Becker. He was in Highlander. And Bud the Dog as Shelby. The Lane family reunion hits Smallville and reveals a con job gone wrong that makes everyone involved evaluate what family means to them. At the same time, Lana and Jason uncover a whodunit as their recently acquired stone goes missing. Now, you know, this episode, a lot of action. We'll get into it. Why don't we start? Ryan, dive in.
The episode opens up in Switzerland and definitely not somewhere else in Canada. Mm-hmm. Definitely St. Moritz, Switzerland, as a mysterious new girl, Lucy, is seen shredding the mountain on some skis. During her run, she is chased down by two men. She manages to get away and decides to call her sister Lois, letting her know she's coming to visit.
Do you think that it was actually, I mean, that was obviously filmed. They filmed all that.
It was Whistler, yeah.
Probably. But they filmed with a professional skier and all that stuff, and they just like, you know.
I think Tom said earlier, it was so James Bondy.
It was really James Bondy.
Those would have been stunties. Those have been stunt guys and girls for sure.
Yes.
I mean, that's just what they do, and you can, and then they can take the risks and they can and do all those little jumps that were like that big.
You think that they would save money and go, "We don't want to shoot this giant opening on Whistler and spend so much money," but they did. They were still putting money into the show and they did a good job. It looked cool. It was definitely James Bondy.
It looked cool.
Well, we know that our guest wasn't there because she said she didn't know that Vancouver had mountains. So that definitely wasn't our
address. Yes, that was not her. The next day, Lois is suspiciously and uncharacteristically making breakfast for the Kents. Snark, snark. Clark sniffs out something being wrong. But before she can explain, Lucy walks in. The Kents hospitably welcome Lucy. Lois gives us the 411 on everything about her unknown genius sister, and Clark suggests that Lois sleep in the barn to make room for her sister. Over at the town, we see Lana and Jason returning from a romantic competitive jog to find their apartment completely ransacked. Their valuables are there, but the stone is gone. Lana is suspicious of the Luthers, and Jason is suspicious of Clark. In hindsight, with what happens later, it's kind of messed up for Lana to pin this on the Luthers.
She's growing up. She's getting into the game. I didn't know when I was watching this at this point what was going on. Later, we find out what happened. I'm like, oh, look at you. You're stepping it up a little bit, flushing everybody else out.
The next day on the farm, Lucy finds a pair of shiny, bedazzled overalls and offers to lend a hand to Clark with his chores. Lois walks in to kill the vibe and pawns off her sister on Chloe. Lois has a heart-to-heart conversation with Clark about Lucy not really being fond of her, how things were difficult in the Lane household with old Ironside after their mother died, and how there's a little jealousy that Lucy escaped the Lane military upbringing.
The overalls were, it was kind of funny that she was just sort of already helping out and doing chores and wearing overalls.
Yeah, we got to have a pair of overalls
because
for her.
Lois was already making like a big thing about doing chores, like not helping out. And then suddenly like her sister's there like, I'm already ready. I'm already a farmer.
Well, maybe Lois had an extra pair of them.
Well, it said Lucy on it.
No, she came from Switzerland. She was helping out with the cows in Switzerland.
Yeah, so she goes from having all her ski gear and cold stuff. She probably brought us a few suitcases. Let's let it slide.
The next day at the Talon, Chloe walks in and shares all the fun new violin talents that Lucy has. Lex is talking to Clark and admires her talent, inviting her over for a jam session as he plays piano. I mean...
You know,
like a classy lady.
Yeah, that's exactly. Immediately she gets into town and Lex is like, hey, come on over. Let's play some music together, baby. How old are you? 18.
You know what, though? It didn't. Well, you like 18-year-olds anyway.
Lex?
Like, yeah. Lex hanging out with Clark. Lex does? Yeah. Clark and Lana. You're like, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it was polite. I thought it was.
Yeah, Lex wasn't was being nice, creepy. Nice, was he?
Although, have you ever asked a girl over for a jam session?
No, hey, I don't know you, but Lois can't stand me. Most people don't, but I'm Lex Luthor, and I got a mansion, and I got a piano.
You heard I'm a pianist.
I'm a pianist. Why don't you come over and play your fiddle? It's like the devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to sell. Okay, gosh.
As Lois drops a tray, Clark notices someone at the entrance dressed in all black, staring at Lucy. It's the same assassin on skis from earlier. But when she turns, he disappears.
Jason leaves the town and heads for the Luther mansion. He asks Lionel where the stone is and then proceeds to return the favor by ransacking the library. Lionel denies any involvement, so Jason manhandles him up against a bookshelf. The interrogation gets halted when Lana walks in, upset by seeing Jason beating her business partner's father.
I mean, I love the way that Glover
is calm,
has Lionel just like, yeah, the way he just stays in the pocket this whole scene and lets Jason kind of spit out, and Jensen did a great job too. It's a really, that's not easy to make a scene like that not that cheesy. Like, it's so easy to just start yelling at each other.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They did a great job.
I've been there.
That night at the Kents, we see Lucy sneaking downstairs and out of the house. She conveniently wakes up Clark in the process, who decides to follow.
Well, he does have super hearing. It's hard
he's
to
also
get past
just
him.
On the couch.
Yeah, he is on the couch.
You don't need super hearing if you're just going to sleep on the couch. You hear everything. Lucy leaves and heads up into the Talon to commit some petty theft by breaking into the cash register. Clark catches her in the act and questions why she would come to this small town to rob a local coffee shop. Lucy proceeds with a monologue about being an outcast and the pressures of being different. Not to mention her credit cards are maxed out and she owes a loan shark
$50,000.
50,000 clams.
Ugh. Business as usual. The next day in the Torch, Chloe shares all the details about the loan shark bouncer who is after Lucy. Lois walks in and goes all Lifetime heroine to defend her baby sister, and they leave to pay a visit to Lucy, who's jamming out with Lex. They blow open her spot, revealing her financial situation. Lois gets frustrated with her sister for not sharing this. Lucy calls out Lois for overstepping her bounds and trying to be a mother, but Lex calms everyone down by saying, ladies, hey, ladies, please. Lissy tries to leave and handle her own problems, but Lex gets her to share her full story and enlist his help, which he's happy to do because he's had previous runs-in with the loan shark Marcus Becker. Marcus calls Lucy to meet alone in an abandoned building for the transactions, and even though she told him to come alone, Lex accompanies her, and Lois accompanies Lex.
Their rendezvous gets sidetracked when Lex gets pulled over by the police. In a very unintimidating way, Lex immediately leaves his vehicle and charges towards the police car. The cop responds by pulling his pistol and revealing himself to be
Marcus Becker.
He gets Lex to transfer the bonds and then pistol whips him. Transfer the bonds, meaning put the cash in a plastic bag. Hurt.
Clark tries to meet the group at the warehouse, but discovers it was a hoax. He then supersedes to Lex and learns that both Lucy and Lois are kidnapped. The next day, we see Lois and Lucy locked in the back of a semi-truck. Lois is annoyed by the fact that Lucy has created another mess that she needs to clean up. Marcus enters to let them know that he intends to hold them ransom and expects a high payout for a pair of lanes. Marcus leaves food for them as he leaves, announcing a very specific order that Lucy normally gets, causing Lois to be suspicious.
I thought that was that's good writing right there. Drop that little nugget. I'm like, wait a second. That's good.
Yeah, Lucy. Lucy's up to no good.
Later, Clark walks into Luther Mansion to help clear things up for us, announcing that Lucy Lane has been conning everyone this whole time as a part of some longer play scheme. Their convo gets interrupted when we see, for the first time ever, Lex's assistant, this is true, the first time ever, notifying him of Becker's calling in. Clark uses super hearing to eavesdrop and hears him arranging another drop, leading him to super speed into action.
Back in the semi-truck, Lucy tries apologizing for actions, but Lois is beside herself, pissed off that her own sister is trying to con her friends out of money. Pretty smart move. Ironically, Lucy reveals that deep down, she's always been jealous of Lois's relationship with the general. Is that the general from the commercial, the cheesy animated commercial?
Yeah, that's their father general? Is the general.
Is the
from
general?
The
animated
the
guy.
The one that Shaq is also involved
Shop
with.
The general!
Yeah.
So what the hell was all the skiing stuff at the start of the episode? Do we assume that she got caught and came up with this plan to get even, or is she in with the bad guys?
I wasn't totally clear on what her plan was.
I wasn't totally clear at all. There's a lot of throwing, what is it, to the wind?
Throwing caution?
Or not caution.
Just a lot of red herrings?
A lot of red herrings, or just... I don't know.
Flopping around everywhere.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, it was an episode that was just kind of odd. It was, but again, the performances were good and, you know, it was some fun to it. I started out by going, oh, what the hell is this? And then, you know.
Well, what we're going to get to is one of my favorite stunts we ever did in Smallville with the semi-truck because.
Yeah,
I remember doing that, and it, literally I was on a semi-truck that was moving, not necessarily all that fast, but it was moving, and I dove onto what I'll call a skateboard that was then pulled, and I had to sort of like use my body to sell the energy of it and sort of stick that ending, and Chris Sayre, my stunt double, really helped me sort of show me how my body would have moved if I had done that. And then I think they took the in visual effects, they took out the skateboard. You don't see it. But I just remember being like, this is awesome. Like, I'm like a kid that gets to do
this.
Yeah,
you
right
never
now.
Got to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it was fun.
That was really cool.
So Clark arrives at the highway overpass and uses super hearing to identify where the lanes are. And then in one fantastic record-setting long jump leap, he lands on top of the moving semi-truck.
And on top of the truck, Clark heads to the driver's cab. Marcus starts firing bullets through the roof, which is really cool, causing Clark to enter from the driver's side door, knocking Marcus out, pulling the truck to a stop. Right on their heels, however, we see Lex and his team arriving with pistols out, ready to engage with Marcus. Of course, billionaire Lex is leading the team as he opens the cab door to find Marcus unconscious. Lex reconvenes with Lois outside the truck, letting her know that he has to turn in Lucy. However, they get interrupted when they see Lucy peeling out in Lex's car.
Looked really cool, Tom. It looked really cool.
Yeah. Who got who?
Yeah, I did. I agree.
Lucy got all of us, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
The next day on the Kent farm, Lex walks into the bar and notifies Clark about Lucy's grand theft auto. The whole ordeal was a net positive for Lex because it allowed him to finally close on a hotel deal in Zurich. Clark goes on to question how Lucy could do something to her own family, and Lex tells him having the same blood doesn't make you family and that he wishes he was family with the Kents. Clark asks him about not having siblings, and then Lex tells Clark that he's his brother from another mother. That was nice. I always like those Clark and Lex moments. I like when he's like, I don't have anybody. You're my brother. You're my family. You know, am I going to become evil? I don't know. I like when he has those honest moments or those sweet moments. In typical fashion for this season, we close out the episode with Clark and Chloe having a moral conversation. Chloe tells him keeping secrets always leads to trouble and how it must be difficult to keep a secret. Wink, wink.
Oh, I forgot. Remember it was like an episode or two ago where she really laid it on thick about like, is there anything you want to tell me, Clark? And he's like, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Back at Luther Mansion, Lionel meets with Lex and shares what happened earlier with Jason. He admits he wished he had possession of the stone, and both guys ended up pointing the finger at one another. In the conversation, Lex learns that Jason took the stone after the trip to China. Lionel proceeds to call his son naive for being unaware.
Yeah.
That was good. You sold that well. And Glover, like, you laid it down and Glover picked it up too. He's like, so disappointed in you. It's amazing.
We then cut to a scene with Lana in the apartment, cautiously moving around, and she reveals that she is the one who stole the stone and is hiding it right under Jason's nose. Everybody's becoming a bit of a fibber, a liar, a manipulator. Oh, man.
Secretville.
The episode ends with Lois and Clark in the Talon loft. Clark reassures Lois that he doesn't hold a grudge for what her sister did, and Lois tells him that the general is disappointed in her for letting Lucy do this. Great parenting. I'm kind of tired of the whole general bullshit. The general, and we get it enough. Moving on. Lois shares that she feels like her sister is a stranger, but Clark tries seeing the best in Lucy, which makes Lois happy and grateful for Clark's optimism. And the final shot is Clark looking into the telescope and seeing two stars collide. Does this have any significance? Probably not.
Speaking of stars colliding, I was just thinking, wouldn't it have been great to see a scene with Michael Ironside and John Glover? That would have been great.
Yeah. Ironside was really great in Starship Troopers. I like that movie. Highlights and lowlights. Lots of family involvement from guest stars this season. Jason's mom, Lois's father and sister. Another episode where the B storyline seemed more interesting than the A storyline. And Lex and Clark relationship getting better for the first time in a while. Their relationship is improving. Interesting things of note.
Interesting things
when Clark and Lex talked about siblings and Lex mentioned that he wished he had a brother, forgetting Lucas Luther, Paul Wesley. He wished he had a brother, but he did have a brother. And then he had another brother that died. But I guess the brother that died, you know, that doesn't really count because he didn't really grow up and have a brother.
No.
Anyway, this was Peyton List's first time playing a DC Comics character. She played Lisa Snart in The Flash, again, the daughter of Michael Ironside's character. The name of the club.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a small world.
The name of the club, Becker.
Smallville world.
The name of the club Becker works for is Club Kronos. Wingfield's character in Highlander's TV series had an immortal brother named Kronos. And Lois's cellular phone ringtone is Reveille, typically used to wake soldiers up at sunrise. Reveille?
I don't know. Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about this all the time. The stigma is going away. It's important for us all to talk about our feelings, about our life with someone we can talk to, someone who's objective, who's a professional. So many people have done this. I've been doing this for a long time. It helps. Ryan here, well, you can't see him, but he uses BetterHelp. So many of my friends do, and it works for so many people. And we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And at times we keep carrying them around rather than processing them and letting them go. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy from BetterHelp is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. I know a lot of people think that. It's not for just those people. It's for all of us. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Talkville today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Talkville.
Talkville is brought to you by AG1. What would we do without AG1? Stop and listen. If you're taking tons of supplements, pills every day and you're tired of it, well, AG1 is here for you. AG1 is just a glass of water and you put some powder and mix it. And AG1 has everything you need for the day.
Hey guys, it's just one scoop mixed with water once a day, every day, and it helps make me feel energized, focused, nourished, strong, and ready to take on the day. I just went on a golf trip with some buddies of mine, and I took this every day, and three of those guys are like, what is that? And they took it, and they were like, this is amazing.
You know, Tom, that's because each serving of AG1 helps deliver our daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful habit that's also powerfully simple. Prebiotics and probiotics, I heard about this stuff forever. And I was like, no, I'm fine. Changing, life changing. When you start to take things that are helping you digest, feel better. I used to get anxious because I didn't know when I was going to go to the bathroom, not to be crass, but like AG1 has these in them, pre and probiotics. It's pretty fantastic. They have adaptogens, antioxidants, whole food sourced nutrients. I know if I drink this daily, I'm going to feel that extra boost, energy, focus, all that stuff. And that's why they've been a sponsor for so long. If you haven't tried AG1, I urge you to take a shot at it. It's really so simple. And, you know, we're talking, Tom, we talk about building habits, new habits, because a lot of us have bad habits. I know I do. But if I could wake up every morning, make my bed, brush my teeth, take the dogs out, take my AG1, I feel fulfilled. Like, hey, I'm ready to start my day. So incorporate this in your life.
You just feel more vitalized. That's why I take it.
If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why, again, they've partnered with us for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/Talkville. That's drinkag1.com/Talkville. Check it out. All right, now we have a very special guest. I'm so excited to have her on. She was Lucy. Yes, we got Lucy. We got Peyton List. Here we go. I mean, who would have thought that we would get Lucy herself on the podcast? I'm very excited. It's been so long. Peyton List, what is going on?
Hi, everybody.
You know, there's another Peyton List.
I do know that, yes. And we are confused often.
Yeah. And you're not, I mean, are you on Instagram? Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not on anything.
What? Are you just like too, you're like one of those actors like, you know, like Ed Norton and all these, the big actors, they don't have an Instagram account, a lot of them. They're just too cool.
I mean, that would be really cool if I was like Ed Norton, but no, it's a combination of laziness and not really
caring,
understanding it. Yeah.
That's all right.
Also, like, I'm from the time when, like, you know, MySpace first came out and it scared me to death, like, because I couldn't quite grasp it. And then everything after that, I'm just like, it's another version of MySpace.
Yeah. I was never on it. Well, look, you've done tons of stuff and we're so excited you're here. We do this Talkville rewatch podcast. I had never really seen the episode. So now I'm watching them and it's like, it's very fun. They make fun of me because they say I shit on the show, but I'm just very honest. But today we're talking about the episode Lucy. Do you have any memories? Because how old were you when you got this part?
That's a really good question. I think I would have been.
Well, because the thing is, you look the same. Your hair's just longer.
I do not look the same, but I absolutely love you for saying that.
You look very young.
Not even a little bit. But I had to be 18 or 19. I think I was 18.
Wow. Were you nervous when you got the role? I mean, you obviously auditioned for this, right?
I didn't, actually. I don't know why or how that happened. But I know I didn't. And I know it was the first time I'd ever been offered something. And I was like, wait, you get to do a job without the trauma of auditioning for something? What is this wonderful thing? I think what had happened was I had been going out to LA off and on the year before, and I must have been meeting with WB people and somehow got on their radar. I don't know how that happened.
Well, you got it. I mean, here's the thing. You say it's you know, it sucks auditioning. We don't like it. Ugh. But when you don't audition and you get a part, then you're like, what do they want? And it's
You have no confirmation that you did it right.
Yeah. So when you get to, were you nervous with the nerves when you first did?
I was nervous for about a billion reasons. Not least of which I watched Smallville. I watched it from the pilot episode when I lived in New York. It was part of my like appointment TV. It was my generation. I mean, I would have been 14 when the first season came
out. All right, stop it. We don't need to hear this.
I was the WB audience. Yes. Like that was me. And I didn't watch every single WB show, but Smallville was one of the best ones. And it was kind of, it was different for me because I didn't really watch anything like, I mean, a lot of DC stuff was around and movies were being made, but I didn't really follow comic books.
Me neither.
Really.
Me neither.
So it was my introduction, like, I know I'm not supposed to say it, but like as a girl getting into something like Superman, you know, it just wasn't really my bag until Smallville. So, you know, it was like a really different show for me and I was a huge fan. And, you know, you guys were kind of it as, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17. I go out to LA and they're like, yeah, and you do Smallville and you're just kind of going,
what did
yeah,
you
sure.
like about the show? What was it that made you watch the show?
No, but hold on a second. What? I don't recall you ever bringing that up on set.
Yeah.
I had to be cool. I had to like play it cool. You didn't give that away.
Well, what was it that you liked about Smallville? Because you were watching this every week. So what was it that you liked?
I mean, it wasn't necessarily that like it's set in high school or that it's like the original story before you get to
It was Lex Luthor.
It was Lex Luthor, actually. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How did you know?
Yeah.
He was working.
It was totally Lex Luthor. Yes.
Yeah. No, that was it for sure. No, it was that sort of like extraordinary high school. It was these people are sort of your age, but it's extraordinary and it's fun. And like, you know, there's like romantic stories and all this stuff that also appealed to someone like me and not just, you know, 15-year-old boys as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. It kind of had a little bit of everything. And because I was new to that world, I didn't really know any of the storylines that were going to be touched on. So it was all new to me, if that makes sense.
It was also perfect in rewatching the episode. What I saw is they did such a good job of your character coming to town with a secret, not knowing anyone else, that it almost worked in your favor to, I got my own thing, but here, and I got my own agenda, and I don't really know about you guys, and I don't really care.
Yeah.
And then the dynamic between you and the Lois character, I thought was really cool as you kind of got through the end of it. You know, the mom and her being the mom and you, yeah, that whole thing, I thought it was endearing.
Well, that's Erica. Like, she's just amazing. And she was so, I would say welcoming, but like calming. For me, kind of coming into all this chaos, and it was like, you don't really know that. You know it, but you don't know it until like many, many years down the line. You work on different things and you look back and you're like, man, she didn't have to do that. She did not have to like mother hen me the way she
did.
You
get to have some bad experiences and look back and be like, actually, that one was a good one.
Exactly. And Smallville was, I had done a few episodes of, you know, guest stars, episodic TV back in New York. But Smallville was my first time kind of, it felt like my first job in primetime television. Like I had not shot a schedule like that before. I had not had that amount of workload before in that medium. I was basically coming from soaps, which could not have been more different.
Well, they also named the episode after your character. I mean,
yeah,
that's
no pressure.
Nope.
You know, what's funny is I watched the episode and it's amazing how young you were and you hadn't done a ton. And yeah. you weren't nervous because you look so confident in this role. I really no. thought you
the
just...
The terror was buried deep.
It was buried deep. That's
the
what we do.
Was buried.
We have to bury the terror.
Yeah. First rule of television, bury the terror.
I remember, I don't know if you remember, but I remember, it, maybe if it wasn't it, because you come back, right?
Right.
But I remember that I didn't get along really with the director. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I almost Ooh. Got in a fight with him. That's the guy that like called me out when I didn't do anything. And I flipped out. I like charged the video village. And I was like, don't, what the fuck? Don't ever talk to me.
But see, because I was new, I was like, maybe this is what happens on every, maybe this is like normal.
No, it happened. I probably got in a fight, like an no. argument with like two times on right. the whole series. And that was one of them. And yeah. I was just like, the dude made me lose my mind. He was so rude. I'm not going to mention any names, but it was like,
right.
he apologized later. But were you there on set when I charged the video village?
Yeah. I saw. Yeah.
You're like, oh, my God.
Yeah. But I was so like, I was coming from a place where I'm so used to
chaos.
It's not like I couldn't figure out what was happening. Like I was coming from a place I was so used to, like on the soaps, you have four directors. Over years and years and years and years, you know them as well as you know your coworkers, right? And you know, certain shows still have that. But like, I'm looking at this going, oh, you know, new directors come in. It's like growing pains every single time. And you guys have been doing this show for 4 years. You know this show inside and out. You know your characters inside and out. And that's why in general, like most directors who come in, they don't really give regulars notes because they know that the regulars know it better than they'll ever do it. You know, most directors right. come in, they're like, yeah, I watched the last four episodes and I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, I watched the last episode on the plane on my way here. Yeah.
Well, you, right, know, exactly.
you know what I mean?
That's what they do. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, what's funny is he never gave me any direction. He just,
yeah.
that one day I'm walking to set and he's like, you're fucking me. I'm behind on my day and you're effing what? Me. And it's, you know, you're coming here late. And I just go, I was just taken aback, and the first AD goes, Rosamund, hey, let's let this go. It's fine. We'll talk about it later. We got to shoot this. We have to shoot this shot right now. It's a crane shot. And I remember the crane coming down. I've talked about it. And Erica's talking to me, and she was like, are you okay? Are you okay? Action, crane's coming in. I wish they had this footage, because as the camera went right to my face, I go, no, I'm fucking not okay. Right into the camera. And then I beelined his chair, and I was like, I was right in his face, and I remember Bob grabbed me, and I was just like, so, because I didn't do anything wrong. I was like, I yeah. wasn't
well,
late. I was
also like, I got to tell you, in all my years working with Michael, he's never been late. In fact, he's there an hour and a half earlier than everybody else.
Yes.
Just to get his makeup on. He can't be late.
Yeah.
Like, he can't be late.
Never late.
Yeah. Well, that's like the perfect thing to set you off when people are like, you're late. You're like, I am the opposite of late.
Yeah. It felt yeah. like my parent, my dad yelling at me, and it wasn't my fault. And I was just like, you know, I have that issue. So I was just like, oh, yeah. And I just lost my shit. But
we all have those days.
I'm glad you got to appreciate that. Well, look, you've done a ton of stuff. And it's funny because you played Poison Ivy in Gotham.
I kind of got attached to the red hair on that. So that's why I'm still red.
Was that fun doing Gotham? And like,
it was really fun. It, you know, it's like, it's what's really funny about that kind of stuff. That was also an offer because I had done a series with one of the creators of the show. And it reminded me a bit of Smallville, and it's still in that same world, genre. Right. And you're still trying to do that like heightened reality, but reality thing.
Yeah.
But it's funny. Like, I think if I hadn't had the experiences of like Smallville, or I think I did Flash before that. Like, I think having that sort of that genre and that comic book stuff, like it would have been totally different to go in and try to do Poison Ivy. Yeah. If you didn't have this sort of behind you and feel like you have an idea of what you're kind of supposed to be doing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because you walk into these super elevated situations, but your job is to make them grounded and real, and the circumstances is real.
Yeah.
And then you got, you know, I've met Ben a couple of times. He's like the nicest guy in the world.
In the world.
And so like, I'm sure that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Morena. Yeah. Morena's one of my dear friends.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she was the lead in this movie I directed, and she is the best. I mean, she's so beautiful inside out. I love that girl.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, it was, I mean, like, we all have the jobs that are the ones that will not be named, but that was not one of them. That was really, like, it was just fun and cool, and you just kind of felt spoiled.
Did you watch Lucy before did you have a chance to watch it?
I did.
You did?
I was dreading it because, you know, I don't know why, but you think you're going to cringe. Like, you're just seeing yourself years and years ago, and you think it's going to be you're just going to be terrible and ruining every scene. And, like, you were going to be like, oh my God, all the things I didn't know back then that I understand now. But weirdly, I didn't cringe. Maybe it's enough distance. Maybe the correct amount of distance is 19 years.
Yeah, that's sort of how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, we would not be doing this podcast. We couldn't have done this podcast 5 years ago. We can watch it now because it's so far removed. In fact, sometimes I forget I even did it.
Most of the time, we forget.
I think you kind of need that, weirdly. I mean, I can't watch anything I've done that's recent because all I think about is what was happening on set and what I didn't get right and what was cut out and then would have changed you just go down that rabbit hole.
I just watched a rough cut of a movie that I did a year ago, and they just sent me a rough cut because they wanted me to do some ADR. And I remember it's supposed to be a thriller about somebody stole money and we're trying to catch them and this and that. And I remember being on set thinking it was a little off and thinking maybe we should just make it a comedy. Like, that's how, like...
Well, we planned all along, actually.
This whole thing is funnier than what we're doing. And I watched the rough cut and I'm like, oh man, I would have done something different there had I known. Okay, you know, all right. But
that's the story of my life.
Hindsight is 2020, my friends. Well, yeah. this is amazing having you here. And, you know, who knows? Maybe when we do the other episode that you're in, I don't know when that is. When is that? Is that this year?
I think it was season 10.
Like, oh my God.
It was way after.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. I thought you came back.
Yeah, it was a ways. Yeah.
Wow.
We should have just recorded that episode today as well and get it over with, because now you're going to have to wait 5 years for Michael to email you again and ask if you're in New York.
Yeah. Well, actually, 6 years.
Maybe I will be in New York by then. You never know.
Yeah.
Well, this has been awesome. Is there anything else you remember on set or anything you remember doing or remember any kind of interaction with people that you want to mention?
Nothing particularly interesting. I mean, yeah, everybody, like, you guys were so nice and so amazing. I remember that Smallville was my first experience in Vancouver, and it was the dead of winter. It was like January or February. And so that's what I thought Vancouver was.
Oh, yeah.
For 6 years.
That's what we thought it was. You know, what's funny is people go, oh my God, Vancouver is just beautiful. It's like the most beautiful place in the world. I'm like, yeah, for 2 months. And then it's shit. It is the most.
Well, that's the thing. I am one of those people now, because when I came back, the next time I was in Vancouver was that season 10 for Smallville. And it was in the summertime.
Yeah.
And I remember being so shocked that this was the same place, because the entire time I was there during season 4, I don't think I saw the sun. It was just dark and overcast. Yeah. And I didn't even know there were mountains there.
Yeah. Did people recognize you from Smallville? Did a lot of people?
Yeah. It's mostly when I'm doing like conventions for other things that people are like, oh my God, I loved Smallville. And I'm like, really? Not that that's shocking, but just that they could put it together, because it was so long ago that they would, you know, connect the dots. But yeah, I have met a lot of Smallville fans while at conventions for other things, which is just sort of sweet, because it was so early days for me. I really love that.
Well, you know what you should do? We're doing the first time ever, we're doing a Smallville convention. It's Creation of Smallville. And it's in October in New Jersey. And I'll see if maybe they can send you an invite to come. And we're going to have guest stars and stuff. It will be so fun. And I think you'd have a good time.
If there's a seat for me, I'll be there. I love that stuff. I love meeting people. And I can't believe, wait, is this the first one?
First one ever.
Oh, that's going to be mega.
Yeah.
In October, yeah. Well, hey, oh, this has been an absolute joy. Ryan didn't say a fucking word, but Jason, bleep my F's out. This has been a real joy. I really thank you for taking the time with us. And
oh my God, thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is great. And continued success. And I'm sure we'll see you soon.
Austin, sounds good. Good luck with all the seasons.
Thank you so much.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, it's time for the hotline.
Talk.
Let's get the hotline here, and then we'll get into what we think about this episode. Right now, patron privilege. We got Heather and Greg, who we love. Heather and Greg, let's see what you got. We love our Heather and Greg, don't we?
Hi, guys. Heather and Greg here with a quick question for season 4, episode Lucy.
Guest star Peter Wingfield left acting to become a medical doctor. Have you guys ever considered leaving the entertainment industry and pursuing a different career?
Thanks a lot, guys. Love the show. Hope to see you soon.
That's a good question. Yes.
Yeah, we became podcasters.
No, I mean, he's saying, like, if we didn't podcast, if I didn't write or direct or act, or we didn't do all these things, what would we do? Like you said one time, you'd be a fireman. Remember in the interview with me? I don't know. I think I could see myself like as a drama teacher for fun for kids, or working at a children's hospital, or
like Patch Adams.
Maybe just trying to get a job where I could really enjoy, because I love being around helping kids, and especially when kids are sick, you know, I just, you know, maybe something like that. DBL. Let's see what DBL has.
This is David from Lake Wales, Florida. As far as season 4, episode 16, Lucy goes. Now, there's a scene with Chloe toward the end. That seems sort of out of place. Just like an excuse to give her more screen time in an episode that really had very little to do with her. Although it did forward the mythology a bit by having her tease Clark not so subtly about knowing his secret. I have to admit, that was kind of fun. By the end of that scene, he's thinking. You can see Tom, obviously, the wheels are going. You convey that very effectively. And we wonder, what is he thinking? Is he thinking, does she know my secret, or at least part of my secret, that I have superpowers?
I love his voice, don't you? He's got such a cool voice, David. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, sometimes there's always something in there that you're like, why do we need that? Why is she there? Do I think Clark's suspicious of Chloe questioning at this point? I think not as much, right, Tom? There's not, maybe a little?
A little bit of like, what does she know and how much of that does she know? I think that that's like, what did, I mean, she's obviously laying it on thick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite lines in Tommy Boy when the guy, David Spade walks up to the guy at the counter and goes, here's what you want to do. And then David Spade says something like, the guy says, are you being sarcastic? He goes, I'm sensing sarcasm. And David Spade goes, well, I'd hope so, because I'm laying it on you pretty thick. Victoria. Let's see what Victoria says.
Hi, this is Victoria from Kansas, and I have a burning question for season 4, episode 16, Lucy. So at the end, Clark and Lex are having a conversation, and Lex calls Clark Clar, leaving off the K. I was wondering if this was an enunciation thing or if it was Lex's nickname for Clark. I've also noticed this in a few other episodes as well. Thanks so much. Love the podcast.
Wait a minute.
I did not catch
Victoria, really? I say Clark.
You say Clar.
Clar.
And omit the K.
Like a pet name for Clark?
I don't think so. I didn't enunciate or something. Clark. Maybe it was one of these. Watch. Clark. So you don't really hear it, but it's there. You don't really.
Clark.
Victoria, you have really good ears. I didn't notice that. Hey, Clar. For now on, we should have a t-shirt that says Clar.
Hey, Clar.
Michael. Watch. There'll be a t-shirt now. Hey, Clar.
Hey, Clar.
Based on one person's.
G'day guys, Michael here from Australia. In the closing scene, what do you two think the two meteors colliding when they symbolize or allude to? I had no idea what was going on. Thanks.
I just love how brave he is to call in and be like, I didn't get it, guys.
Well, it came right after, it came after Clark and Lois had a lively conversation, and it seems like they're getting along, and it seems like these two stars are about to collide. That's what I think it's Clark and Lois. It's just symbolizing that connection that we know is about to happen. And I think this is like the first time you kind of see it a little bit.
All right.
It wasn't because Clark
like,
and Lex.
You sort of see it her wasn't... not as like the silly other character. Like they're actually starting to connect a little bit. And Clark is looser. Like he's like getting a little more playful and she's bringing that out of him.
Ryan's got a little bit insight today.
I took AP English Lit. I know how to analyze
You know what you're
things.
Talking about.
Hey guys, this is Shannon from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm calling about the episode Lucy. So this is the first time we get to see Lex and Lois interacting, and there's only 9 episodes in the whole series where they have scenes together. Do you wish there would have been more scenes with Lex and Lois? Thanks.
I love that you counted the amount of episodes that Lex and you are a true fan.
Hmm. Bryce is like, this is great. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, I always liked working with Erica. She was a delight, and I always would be happy to work with her, and we never got a lot of interaction together, so that's a shame. Gabriel, what you got for me? Gabriel.
Hey y'all, my name is Gabriel from Houston, Texas, and I just got done watching season 4, episode 16, Lucy, and I had a question for Michael. So I noticed that every time Lex does something with his hands, he's always using his left hand. Like I've noticed he rises his left hand and he aims his gun with his left hand. And I was just wondering, for Michael, are you left-handed in real life or is that like a conscious choice? Because I know it's a common trope for like superheroes to be right-handed and supervillains left-handed. And I was just wondering if you're left-handed in real life.
Gabriel, just for this role, I decided to go left-handed. I started writing with my left hand. Everything was it was very difficult. It took me months to figure this out.
Is it true you referred to it instead of my left foot, you referred to it as my left hand?
I've always been left-handed. My grandpa was left-handed. And I didn't know supervillains were left-handed, but
that was interesting.
I did this thing with Brendan Fraser called Professionals. It's already out. And we had this scene where these guys are chasing us and they open up the van door and I go out with the gun and I start shooting, but I had to shoot left-handed. And I remember we did the first take a couple times and then cut. And somebody came over, it might have been the script supervisor. She's like, wait a second. We've already seen your character shoot with his right hand. Now you're shooting with your left hand? And it was like a Christopher Walken. I go, he shoots with both
hands. I'm ambidextrous.
And it was like, okay. Take two.
I love it. Leanne. Here's Leanne.
Hey guys, it's Leanne P., your patron from Sacramento. Throughout the season, we see Lana being more and more deceitful, giving into her dark side. Do any of y'all feel this was some foreshadowing on the writer's part for the up-and-coming Lex and Lana relationship? Thanks, y'all. Bye.
You know what? It's just interesting when good characters start to sway and veer into that dark area or start to get to see, maybe it's rubbing off on her, you know, all these people who are lying around her. I don't think she purposely lies, but I think some secrets she needs to keep because of protecting herself.
She's also questioning her trust in these people, so she's fleshing them out. You know, let's see who's going to make a move.
I agree. How about Billy? Oh, Billy Baker Buddy. Not his last name.
Hey, it's Billy from LA calling about the episode Lucy. I just want to say it was so cool when Clark looks through the telescope at the very end and sees two shooting stars collide next to like a Jupiter-like planet. I think this is the first and only time we see Clark use his telescopic vision, right? Thanks.
Right, thanks.
Oh.
I didn't know that. That's kind of cool. Telescopic vision.
I think we joked a couple episodes ago where Clark used his he was like looking at something like x-ray vision, but then it like went down a hallway and around a corner. Remember, I was like, what is this? And I was like, yeah, I don't know if we ever played the actual telescopic vision, but good catch.
Hi, this is Zach from Austin, Texas. Do any of y'all three have any embarrassing sibling stories, whether it be you or the sibling causing the embarrassment? All right, y'all have a great day. Thanks, bye.
To this day, I don't allow my brother to get away with the fact that we were trying to raise money for our hockey organization. And
he stole
it. No, I kept saying, let's go to this house and see if we can get, you know, people to donate and this and that. And he goes, I have to go to the bathroom. And he kept telling me. And finally, I took him home and he stopped talking about it. And about a block away, I noticed he shit his pants. And he was like 8 or 9. But every time I tell the story, he goes, every time you tell that story, I get older. I'm like 26 now. You know, we didn't have a good relationship growing up. He was the favorite. It was so obvious. I wanted to kill him. I did not like him at all. He was a terrible brother, and he's become a better brother. But he was not a great brother growing up. He was just a little dick.
Well, you probably met halfway. I mean, maybe you weren't the best brother.
No, I thought I was pretty good. He just always got, he always told on me, always, no matter what. And they always believed him. No. International folks, Alyssa from Italy. Since at the end, we see the two stars representing Clark and Lois collide. Do you think the writers should have made their relationship start earlier instead of dragging Clark and Lana for so long?
No.
Yeah, probably. Probably, but you know what? Things happen for a reason.
You got to remember when Al was on the show, I think he said that, you know, as far as they were concerned, if they could make it to season 3 or 4, they were going to, you know, that's the definition of success. So now that we're in 4, they're probably like, how do we make it go 4 more? You know,
you have to amp it up. You have to put something in there.
You just need to wait for Clark to get out of high school and then it's
But once he gets out of high school, then he's become Superman. He goes to Metropolis. So you can't do that. You have to keep it in high school. Right? Weren't they in high school even at the end of the series?
No, this is senior year.
This is senior year. And actually, if you flip that question around, we're lucky to even see Lois right now.
Yeah.
Because as far as I know, Clark doesn't even meet her until Metropolis.
Wait a minute. It's senior year. So there's many seasons where you're out of school?
Yeah.
I didn't remember that. I don't remember that. Leah, there's a lot of scenes in this episode where subtext and even foreshadowing are told with looks alone. I've always wondered from a logistical standpoint how those looks come to fruition as part of the overall story. Is it something that the actor brings or the director draws out? I think there's guys like, what's his name, who does a lot of the editing.
Ken Horton,
who goes in there and he'll find a look that you gave that wasn't even necessary. You weren't even giving that reaction to someone and they put it in and it makes it ambiguous. It makes it whatever. And it just changes the dynamic of the whole scene. And he was a master at doing that.
That's the fun part of editing is you get to find those little puzzle pieces that make it make sense.
Yes. Rosenbaum rating system.
And now
let's go with Rosenbaum Tom first. Rating. Hey, Brian.
I think it's solid 1. Solid 1.
But Rose.
It's fun.
I second that one.
I'll third it. 3-1 Rose ratings from the three of us. All right, we get, that's good. I mean, you know, hey, it was somewhat enjoyable. I didn't hate it. It was better than a heater. I thought Peyton was great. I thought everyone was good in the episode. A little hokey and, you know, but whatever.
I also think having Peyton on for the interview and her talking about how nervous she was and me not ever even catching that and shooting it.
Yeah.
Looking back at watching the episode, I was impressed that she really didn't, she didn't advertise that at all.
She's so cool.
Yeah.
Death and save count. Zero death. Two saved. Clark stops Lucy and Lois's kidnapper. Through 16 episode, 10 dead, 33 saved. Series 102 dead, 136 saved. Now time for Ryan's favorite scene. Ryan's
scene one, the skiing. Scene two, truck jump. Scene three, Clark and Lex with their blood talk.
Damn, this is hard. This one's hard. It could be because, you know, I know what Tom's thinking. Tom's thinking too. Yeah, the truck. I kind of want to. There it goes, balloons. I kind of want to see. Hold on a second.
Is that because you put up a peace sign again? What?
it had never been done before. I'm going to go with the Clark truck scene as well. Is it the truck scene?
Tom has confetti. Yeah, the truck scene.
Truck scene. Yeah, it was just,
I didn't know you could do this.
It was unique. It was unique. You had to give that
one. It was cool. And that was actually one confetti.
Tom.
No, it was like a stunt where I actually like my jaw dropped. I was like, oh my God, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Because it's been a while since they've done like a new stunt for Clark, like a new cool thing for him to do.
It was getting old.
And
so.
it was part of the, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's kind of like that. That one, like, when Clark accidentally throws the tractor, like that was something that stands out too. Like there's things like that that you're like, whoa, I didn't see.
You know what doesn't
coming.
Stand out? When you threw those thugs into the barn and it kind of vibrated, kind of like rubber. I was like,
when I threw them into a pile of mattresses.
Oh gosh, that was diarrhea central.
Speaking of which, by the way, they showed Crypto in this episode again. We hadn't seen the dog for a minute. Or not, it's not Crypto the dog.
I totally missed it.
The in the
Shelby.
Opening, Shelby, whatever. Because I thought they were just going to drop the dog thing entirely. The dog was in the house in this episode.
Yeah, the dog was in the house.
Right away.
The dog was
in the house. All right, that's it for the episode. Stick around next week as we split things up and talk about episode number 17, which is one of my favorites. This is called Onyx. This is a great episode for me in particular. It's fun. You're going to see some great stuff. Ryan, I think you're going to really like this one.
I hope so.
Yeah. So let's take the discussion online. Let us know your thoughts on the episode over on our socials at Talkville Podcast or Talkville Pod. Show the support for the podcast by joining Patreon at patreon.com/Talkville. More information like merch for the show and our hotline number. You can find all that in the description. Remember my Instagram at TheMichaelRosenbaum. Go to the link tree for events and cameos and all that. And remember, folks, always hold on to Smallville. Tommy, Ryan, see you boys. See you guys. It's time for the top tier patrons. We love you dearly and thank you for all your help. Nikki G, Leanne P, Raj C, Santiago M, Little Lisa, Thomas, Tom Turner, Shane W, Sophie M, Betsy D, Abby P, Ray Harada, Karen Apple M, 99 more, Lilani N, Brett G, always. Hold on to Smallville, Estevan G, Garrett W, Bob K, Kimberly L, Tom N, Jason W, Osama A, Glenda P, Lana rhymes with banana W, Nancy D, Brian G, Sarah W, YBR Grips, Anna M, Amanda R, Teddy 127, Michael P, Ryan R, Jordan M, Randy B, Craig G, Jor-El, Heather and Greg, I Made Talkville Say Butts, Brian H, Eric K, Kristen B, Nanine W, Stephanie K, Darth Achilles, Finky, Early is on Time, Miss Charlotte Kent, Clark Kent, Damn, who's that? Jeanette E, Dead Vid, General Zod, Theodore, Nathan B, Jammin' J, Big D, Doug R, Carlos C, Tommy Z, Boston 68, Ken, the Limerick Guy, Corey L, and Mr. Homar K. Tommy, take it over.
Well done, sir. Jesse C, Claire M, D Brown, Karen Era M, great talking with you, Jules M, Eldon Supremo, Leslie V. McBurts, Ginger Moose, please remember Janice from North Carolina, NC, I should say, Christoph S., Michelle M., Drew, A mandolin. Can you play a mandolin?
Have no, I asked you that? I can't.
Jessica B. Michael Caine doesn't blink. Sebastian F. Wolfie. Love you, Wolfie.
Wolfie.
Dak Flendo. That's fun to say. Steven and Steven the grocery checker, my buddy down the street. Matthew and Lincoln B.
Briar.
Briar. Charlene A. The Coopers. Marion Louise L. CGO. Cindy C. Shannon Fofanin. Tina E. Matt Rick. Jen T. Gentle. Randy S. Cassie B. Brad A. Felicia R. Danny Mo. You do this one.
Danny, who's that? Danny Mo Mirabel L.
JS. Mary K. Rachel D. Steve and Nate. Danger. When you're rich, you're not. You aren't crazy. You're eccentric. Rosenbaum fan. Sammy Sharam.
Sammy Sharman.
Charm?
Sammy Sharman.
Sharman. Rosenbaum fan. Sammy Sharman.
Yes.
Carrie Ann. Patrick R. The Alexander Castle. That's cool. Daryl E. Charlene A. Spicy Chicken. Jenny B. And Anna B.
Monica T. Jeffrey K. Pick Kenobi. Katja C. Previously on Smallville. Matt C. Depro Sajal. And Devin. Chadwick B. Keith B. Cheru. Cheru, hello. Major Paradox. The Patron Saint of Smallville. Libertariat. Christy H. Biagio C. Cal L. 38. Felicia B. Lady J. Mignon. Mignon. A, the Salty Ham, Murphy C, David L, Madison H, Mika J, Mooncloak, Tori H, Anna H, and Paul the Grim G. We love you. Thank you guys so much for the support. It's awesome. We'll keep doing this, and I hope you're having fun. Sorry for shitting on the show. We'll see you next week.
Well, and apparently season 5 is even better, so stay tuned.
Yeah.